I learned early on from a great mentor that I had. He told me, Carl, you will make more money in this business being honest than you will ever do lying to somebody. And they tell me, oh, well, they didn't want me to do that. That is a giant red flag.
Red flag.
Walk away. And I don't care if it's me. I don't care if it's Bob down the road. If you trust them and they are fair and honest with you and they walk you through things and explain them to where you understand them, that is key.
All right. Hey, guys, welcome back to the studio. Today we have a special guest, Classic Carl Cox from CCR Automotive. All right. Welcome to the studio, Carl.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. All right. Carl, tell me about your startup.
So my startup kind of starts way back a long time ago. I never wanted to be a mechanic. I never wanted to own a shop, none of that stuff. And it just kind of was one of those things you start doing it in. You just can't let it go. I've tried doing other things and so on and so forth, and I've always come back to working on cars. I did a short stint doing commercial contracting and building commercial things as far as like industrial stuff, and didn't like that. Went back to being a mechanic. I worked at Chrysler and Roush for about 2 years at the Ford Proving Grounds out in Romeo.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Really cool. And then I worked at Chrysler at the World headquarters there in Auburn Hills for 8 years doing prototype work. And I would still be there to this day. I mean, that was a job that I thought I would stay at forever, you know, retire from there kind of deal. And COVID happened, and we went from seeing a new product every 2 to 3 months and constantly being busy to there was a point in time where I didn't open up my toolbox for a month.
Whoa.
Yeah. And a buddy of mine that I'd worked with, I've known him since I was 15, gave me a call. He's like, hey, you know, what's going on? How you been? Da, 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 this and that. And he's like, you know, we're struggling over here at this restoration shop. The guy running it doesn't know what he's doing, so on and so forth. He's like, I think you'd be great at it. And I've kind of run the front end before once or twice. Well, not really once or twice, but for an extended period of time at another shop that I worked at, just doing general repairs. And I'm like, sure, I'll come check it out. You know, I was miserable at that point at Chrysler.
Yeah.
We, like I said, weren't seeing any new products. We weren't doing anything. And I went from, you know, running, gunning and going every day, 8-10 hours a day, to sitting watching YouTube videos for 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
So that happened, and I decided to leave Chrysler. Against everybody else's wishes, my wife, I talked with her, and she said, yeah, if that's what you want to do, you're miserable doing that.
That's awesome.
She's been a huge support. Huge. Yeah.
Because I'm sure, too, like, because I experienced, you know, setbacks during COVID, and, you know, your mental health takes a dip, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's amazing that you have a supportive wife that backed you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I know a lot of guys that don't have that support and are like, no, you're staying, you're not following your dream. You know what I mean? Oh, kind of deal.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I left there, left Chrysler, and went to the restoration shop. Things were going good. You know, everything was moving forward until I started looking about 6 months later into the books and stuff like that. I just stumbled across them, honestly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy smokes, this guy's spending money like it's going out of style. And I watched him blatantly lie to customers. And I learned early on from a great mentor that I had at a muffler shop, actually. He told me, Carl, you will make more money in this business being honest than you will ever do lying to somebody.
Amazing.
And some of the things that he was telling these customers at the restoration shop were just like, dude, you're telling them something and you know that can't be promised.
Right.
Like, you can't turn a whole car around in 6 months. It just doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, he would take giant deposits from people and just not think twice about it.
Wow.
So me and my friend Paul, we decided we were just going to do our own thing. I called a buddy of mine that also had another business, and he goes, well, Carl, how old are you? I said, I'm 33. He goes, well, if you screw it up, you got 32 more years to fix it.
Hey, yeah. Yes. So
that's where it ended up. And we opened up our shop late August, early September, and was a little sketchy at first, as it always is. You know, did I do the right thing? Am I insane?
God. Yes.
You know, yeah. Am I ever going to make another dollar?
Right.
Do I need to get a job down the street? You know?
Well, plus too, because factor COVID in that time frame in there, it was like everything was so uncertain. Mm-hmm. So like to start a business, for anybody to even start or have a business, yeah. It was like, is anything going to ever be the same? You know? Yeah, oh my God.
Holy smokes. We got a couple customers in, you know, things started rolling. People started noticing where we were. We started doing some advertising and stuff like that. And then it just picked up really pretty good. We carried through the winter okay. And then come springtime, that first couple days where it was nice out, it was like the phone didn't stop ringing.
That's
and
amazing.
It's been that way ever since.
So you've been in the same location, right? Mm-hmm. So just to give the audience a little bit of context, I have a classic 66 Mustang Fastback 351 Cleveland. And Carl is the only mechanic I let touch it. And I brought it into your shop, which your shop is amazing.
It's thank you.
It's huge. It's in a great location. Very spacious, and you've got a great team. And
yes, we do.
Yeah, so I brought the Mustang in there, and I purchased that Mustang, and I just needed some tweaks. I needed some trim. I needed, what else did I need? Some just tweaks and squeaks. Windshield wipers. The initial windshield wiper installation was, I think it was upside down or backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys took care of that, and that was amazing. And I got to meet your team, your staff, and just watching you interact with your customer base was so good for my soul, because this is why I call you Classic Carl, because classic customer service has, you know, come to stay at CCR Automotive, and I love that.
Yeah.
I watched you interact with the customers while I waited, and I had no qualms waiting. I'm a patient person, so I love that you don't rush the people along. There was an older elderly lady in there I'll never forget, and so just because she was kind of a character, she stuck out in my mind, and just watching you interact with her, it was 5 stars. It was gold.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah. And so getting to meet your team, fantastic also. And something you do, something you offer as a mechanic and a shop owner, you do the pre-purchase inspections.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, and a pre-purchase inspection is paramount if you're going to buy a classic car.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Basically, what a pre-purchase inspection does is allows the customer and us to fully check the vehicle out before it's purchased. So classic car, you're talking anywhere between, you know, $10,000 to $100,000.
Yeah.
And I've looked at them all, yep. You know, been around them all. And basically what we do is we go from headlight to taillight, back and forth, inside and out, you know, it's like 100-point inspection plus tons and tons of pictures, including body defects, mechanical defects, electrical defects. You know, if it's on the car, we're going to try it out.
Yeah.
We're trying the wipers. We're trying the brake lights. We're trying the tail or turn signals and everything else in between. You know, we want to check the compression on the motor. We want to make sure that, you know, somebody hasn't been in there trying to hack a radio in or something like that.
Yeah.
And basically what it allows the customer to do, or the purchaser, is to know in advance what they're getting into. Because these vehicles are old. I mean, 60s, 70s, 50s, 30s, 20s.
Or a complete rebuild.
Oh, yeah.
Like from scratch.
Yeah.
With old original parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It allows them to kind of get an idea of, here's what I'm going to get myself into. Here's what's going to roughly cost me. And it also gives them a little bit of buying power as far as like they go back to the seller and say, hey, I had the guys at the shop take a look at this before, you know, I'm going to buy it from you. And they found X, Y, Z. And to be honest, we haven't had a car in that we haven't found something.
Right.
It gives them a little bit of buying power to be able to go back to that person and say, where can we work on this price? Because nobody's ever fully set on their price.
Yeah.
And I would just want to touch on that for just a second. I've had a couple customers tell me, because I mentioned this before, where, hey, you can go and have a pre-purchase inspection and be done. And they tell me, oh, well, they didn't want me to do that. That is a giant red flag.
Red flag.
Walk away.
Yeah.
And we've done them for clients out of state or just random people coming in off the street. Hey, I would like to buy this car. You know, it's a huge thing. And it's like having a home inspection done.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing, though. So, you know, a lot of classic car collectors, they do come in from out of state. So they'll find something online, but they could outsource you if they're coming in from another state, call you up at CCR. Get the pre-purchase inspection set up through you to go out and scope it if it's here in the Metro Detroit, Michigan area.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So we will do that as far as like going to a location and whatnot. We do prefer though that it gets brought to the shop. That way we can put it up on the hoist.
Yeah. Well, they could pay for that.
Yeah. Oh, most definitely. Or we offer towing as well, where we can go and pick the vehicle up, bring it over to the shop. We're fully insured and everything else like that. Bring it back to the shop, take a look at it. We did it with a Camaro, actually. The gentleman was asking over $100,000 for this Camaro. Put it up on the lift, and it was very shy of that, to say the least.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very disappointing to hear that happens more often than not, where people don't have a pre-purchase inspection and end up with a kind of a lemon, you know. That's a big purchase and people are spending their hard-earned money on and it's ongoing, like that's like when you get a classic car like that, it's like it's almost like your new child, you know, it's because it's an ongoing thing. Like you got to put it through, you know, daycare and all these things almost, you know, you're spending money daily. For different things.
I often refer to them as boats that go on the road.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That was your terminology for it. Yes. Yeah. It's a lot. And is it specifically classic cars that come through CCR?
We will also work on daily driver vehicles because a lot of our customers, when you find a mechanic that you like.
Yeah.
And I don't care if it's me, I don't care if it's Bob down the road. If you trust them and they are fair and honest with you and they walk you through things and explain them to where you understand them, that is key.
Yeah.
You know, that whole like, you know, breaking it down, explaining it to where the customer understands it is it's invaluable, you know. So wherever you get your car repaired is totally up to you, but we will work on customer cars that are just daily drivers, yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I do like that you do take the time to go over and make sure that people understand what it is that's happening with the car and what they've purchased and where it's going. And that's invaluable. And, you know, a lot of places these days or a lot of startups, it's just a generation that really doesn't understand customer service, which is something I really appreciate about you and your team, is that you guys do get it, and that goes a long way.
That's why
I dubbed you Classic Carl, because classic customer service never goes out of style. Love it.
Well, we've noticed we're in the service industry, we buy from suppliers all the time, and there are certain suppliers that I will use specifically for their customer service.
Amazing.
Because it makes a huge difference when I can call up, you know, so-and-so from this company, and I talk to the same person and they know exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And when you get that on the phone, it's like, okay, this is a relief. They know exactly what I'm referring to. And then sometimes they'll teach you things about certain things that you would have never had an idea about.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep. I love that. Getting information from people just through relationship building. Yep. They want to help you and they want to teach you. And if you're open in listening, you receive.
Yes.
My God. So starting up CCR, and you, obviously you said like you had great success just kind of at the time that you launched in late August, early September, and it's just kind of kept you going in the right direction. Had you faced any kind of starting a business in any capacity is hard, even if you're having smooth success and good transition with it all. What kind of adversity did you face as a business owner just getting your wheels going?
So in the very beginning, it was just me and Paul, just the two business owners. And there were weeks where we went without paychecks.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, well, we can either keep the lights on or we can pay ourselves. So that's once again where we kind of like relied on our significant others. And my wife, you know, God bless her soul, she puts up with my crap, a lot of it.
That's
including
awesome.
You know, hey babe, well this week, you know, things didn't go as where we thought, you know, we're moving forward and things are getting better and so on and so forth. And it was scary there for a while.
That's awesome though, because she believes in you, and as I've gotten to know you, I'd bet on you too. You know what
thank you.
That's awesome. That's good. But I can relate, and I didn't have a paycheck for a long period of time either, and I had slept on an air mattress the whole night because it was just me by myself. But I was willing to bet on myself, right? And so I was good. You know, I had a few people that supported me, like as a pen pal. My folks are in Florida, so my dad would always check in and send me a message just when I was losing hope. Yeah. You know, but no, that matters.
I've had a couple really good friends, another good colleague that were business owners, and they're like, it'll get better.
Yeah.
It will get better. Just keep going. Keep moving forward. You're doing the right thing. Just keep advertising. You know, we had a bit of an epiphany one day. My business partner's father-in-law was actually in, and he asked me, he goes, well, how are you advertising? I'm like, well, we're doing Facebook ads and this and that. And he goes, you're missing your target audience. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, I'm your target audience. I'm your 60-year-old gentleman that has a classic car. Yeah. He goes, advertise in the paper. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, advertise in the paper. The Citizen or the Lake Orion Review or whatever.
Yeah.
And ever since we've been doing that, you'd be surprised how often I hear, hey, so I saw your article in the paper. I'm like, okay, I guess so.
Yeah.
Because I'm a millennial, you know, I think, right. Oh, well, social media is where it's at, or, you know, this is where it's at or whatever. But
that's funny that you say that, though. It makes perfect sense. And I'm shocked that that got by me, because I was going to say Facebook, because the older generation is on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, they are.
But the paper, yeah. I love the newspaper. So I actually read the hard copy of the newspaper. And also, too, you know, another great place to advertise is like our local grocery stores sometimes have the bulletin boards. God, yep. I look at those all the time for stuff. Yeah. Yes, that's another good one.
So this is kind of going on the lines of like the customer service thing. We're slowly going back to like, we like certain things like that. Like we found we like the paper, or we like the bulletin boards. We like to know what's going on in the community kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know,
that's awesome. And that is your target audience. You know, I mean, there's a few, young guys around town that have the classics, and we're in an area where there's always a classic car show. I mean, like at my studio house, by the park over here, they do one every summer in the park. Like that park is filled with cars. And then, like the classic A&W, you know, mm-hmm. they've got them over there.
Oh yeah.
So like, do you show up to those?
I do. Yeah. That's awesome. I try and, Holly has one every Wednesday, downtown Holly. Been to that one a bunch of times. Their Halloween one is huge.
Amazing.
It's a trunk or treat. So it, you know, gets all little kids out, stuff like that. Because while, you know, my target audience is, you know, mostly older generations and whatnot, we also have to think about these younger generations that aren't into cars as much as the older ones were.
Yeah.
Because people forget, cars used to be, you know, your form of communication. You'd hop in a car, go to your buddy's house. Yep. You'd hop in a car, you know, cruise across town, go to the movies, go wherever. Now it's all on the phone.
Right.
So
get in your car, drive to the payphone.
Yeah.
Because payphones were still around when I was in high school.
Oh, yeah.
We had a deal like there was a like wherever the payphones were in town where I grew up, it'd be like we could call the number on the payphone, and like one of our buddies would be at the payphone waiting for someone to call. Be like, pick me up here. That's how good it was. So now those are like relics. You know, you don't see those much anymore.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. I have I'm going to have to get the Mustang out to one of those shows. But I mean, it's funny when I go to your point about the older younger generations with the cars. It's fascinating though, because I drive that car around. Mm-hmm. I just got the car because I liked it. I thought when I was in a position to get a car that I'd always wanted a Porsche.
Okay.
And so I went when it was time. I got to a stable place in my business, save my pennies. I'm not a frivolous spender, you know. I don't really buy a whole lot for myself, and I don't like to live like beyond my means or anything like that. So I saved for a rainy day, and I thought maybe it's time, you know. And I went to the Porsche dealership, and a friend of mine came over and his Corvette, and he drove me up to the Porsche dealership. And so went, picked it out, was gonna do the whole nine, and then I was gonna lease because I wasn't sure, you know, it's a car, it's a purchase, and I wanted to make sure. I've never even driven one before.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure that that was going to be something that I liked.
Yeah,
and and that was comfortable for me. And I got as far as picking everything out. I was going to move forward with it, had all the dough to do it. And for some odd reason, I just wasn't into it. I didn't feel it like I thought I would. And I thought, oh, damn, I think I've grown up now. You know, I was making like an adult decision that was like right for me. And it wasn't like an impulse buy. It wasn't the car for me.
Oh, yeah.
And I just waited. I pumped the brakes on that. And And then it was years later, you know, it's probably like 4 years later now, I thought, you know what I think is for me a classic. And I think I was telling you too, when we got talking one of those times when I started my business, I had a Mustang at the time. I had bought that Mustang, paid it off in payments, and it was a 2010 V8 silver coupe. It was a beauty. Started my business in that, but I, luckily for me, when I started my business, that car was paid off because it was tight. Like I told you, I was sleeping on an air mattress, and I ended up having to sell that Mustang for payroll because I didn't get paid from the county on time. And they would do that to you because when you start up a business like mine, it's front. You front everything and then they reimburse, and they weren't reimbursing me like they were supposed to be. So shit was tight.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, I had to sell my Mustang. And I had walked down to Enterprise and rented a car for a period of time until I was in a position to actually, you know, get another vehicle and all that. So anyway, when I came across the Mustang that I have now, the 66 Fastback, it was kind of like a redemption purchase too, because I've loved Mustangs and I like the classics, you know, just watching them, and it's a different feel when you're driving a Mustang because all these bells and whistles on the newer cars, it's so much. Yeah. And I don't even need all that shit. Oh, and I ended up with, when I bought, I always leased a Jeep Wrangler because I got two Great Danes at the time, and I could, you know, get a decent haul if you're going to Lowe's or Home Depot, Costco, whatever. And it was just the most reasonable vehicle. And that's when I thought, you know what, I think it's time for me to look into a classic because they're just more simplified. And I like that feel driving that around. I ended up with the Jeep, and it just had too much on it. And that was all I could get during COVID because we were so limited in the automotive. It was you got what they had, mm-hmm. and mine had all the bells and whistles. Naturally, is what we got. Yeah. You know, got 37 things you don't need.
Yep.
And so, so I find it almost therapeutic when I drive that Mustang around because, you know, it's the old school radio. You know what I mean? Just everything has a different feel. Love it. It's
you can almost just focus more on just driving.
Yes.
And just enjoying it.
Yeah.
And being out.
Yeah. Yes. And it's funny too. So the generational gap there with folks, when I drive that car around town, I remember my assistant at the time, Maria, was with me, and we drove that thing through town, and there was construction. So you had to go real slow, and all the construction workers were out on the road. And you would think Heather Locklear was walking by, but it was that Mustang driving by. Everyone's head turned when that Mustang drove by. I was dying laughing because it gets some looks. And I really just, I needed the car to be the thing that I wanted. So I wasn't buying it for the head turner factor of it. I loved that car. I thought it was a beauty. Yeah. You've seen it, you've driven it. Yeah.
It is.
I was I was so into that car. I was that's the one. And you have to have those feelings. You know what I mean? If you're going to, you know, pull the trigger on a purchase like that.
Yeah.
It's also, I think too, I love that you do the pre-purchase inspection, because I did not do a pre-purchase inspection on mine, but I got one after I had it.
Yeah.
And, you know, just little dumb things the door locks.
Yeah.
I had to have those. I don't even think we've gotten to that point yet, but I need to have those. Or, you know, you did do those. You fix it so the door, you know what I mean? So when, I think when I locked the doors, you couldn't open them.
Yeah, the passenger side one had an issue or something like that. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And then just a couple of rattles here and there, and resecure some things and whatnot.
Yeah. But I love that, though. That's such a great service that you offer. And what other kind of services you guys got going on over there?
So we do a lot with what I'd consider a resto mod. So most people like the look of an old muscle car or hot rod or whatever it may be, but they want some of the creature comforts. You know, most of these old cars came with drum brakes all the way around, something nobody even hears of anymore. So we do a lot of disc brake upgrades, a lot of the 50s and early 60s cars, and anything earlier than that have what's called a single master cylinder. So basically the master cylinder, which applies brake fluid, used to just be one. Well, now it's separated into two. In the event that something were to happen, the braking system, you don't lose both sets of brakes, front and rear. We do a lot of that. A lot of cooling system upgrades, a lot of electrical upgrades. We'll completely disassemble a car, remove the original harness, and put a new electrical harness in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Upgrading like the fuse block and stuff like that from the old glass style fuses to the newer style fuses. Because a lot of these cars, you got to figure something's from 1970. That's 40, 50 years old.
Yeah. You know, mine's 66. Yeah.
So that's, you know, that old technology wiring, and it just gets brittle over time and things start to break or whatever it may be.
Do you get a lot of people putting in Bluetooth
and things like that? So there's an awesome company out there called RetroSound, where they will make a radio that looks like the old school radio, but allows for Bluetooth and FM, AM radio.
That's awesome. I should look into that. Yeah. I would consider that.
They're pretty cool. And they look period correct.
Yeah, that's awesome. I do dig listening to the radio, though, in there, and it just being the regular radio. Because when I'm in my Jeep, it's all, you know, Wi-Fi or whatever you call it, through the system, through my Amazon Music. I don't even know if that's relevant to the younger folks these days, but whatever. Spotify. Yeah, right. But that's awesome. You guys have a good time over there at the shop. And it's so funny, too, because I had went to – this is why I had to have you on the podcast, because I was searching for, you know, like a CCR automotive to find a classic Carl. And couldn't, you know, like I was running into roadblocks. I was going to all the wrong mechanics, and one guy would refer me to the next, and then so on and so on. And then I finally landed at you, at your place, and you're right down the street from my house.
Yep.
Didn't even know it. And I've seen the sign, but I didn't realize, you know what I mean, that it was for classics. It was just another I thought it was just another automotive shop. And I have a transportation network and several vehicles I have a fleet of vehicles for my company. And so I've always just gone to the same place. Yeah. And, that wasn't a thing that he did, classics. So that's where, you know what I mean? That's where Classic Carl comes in. I love it.
Yeah. I'm part of a bunch of, mechanic forums and stuff like that on Facebook and groups and so on and so forth, and some auto shop owner groups and whatnot. And some of these shops now won't touch anything if it's over 20 years old unless they're the ones that have been maintaining it.
Yeah.
And it's like, 20 years old, that's 2005. Wow.
Yeah. Now, do they just consider that liability?
It's a part sourcing thing. It's a liability thing. Yeah. It's a rust thing. We live in this great state where we love to use salt.
Yes.
So
my car will never see salt or the roads in the winter. No.
But, it just becomes a difficulty to get parts and so on and so forth. And it's just a new thing that they're implementing.
Well, that's awesome that you do it, because that makes you a rare business around town. And this, like, the community that we're in, that the studio is in, it's Classic Car City.
Oh, you know?
So they got to keep you in biz from this place.
Yeah. This area has a huge, like, GM, Ford, Chrysler backing of like, you know, oh, well, I work for General Motors, or I worked for Ford, or, oh, hey, I just retired from Chrysler, or so on and so forth. Yeah. It's huge here.
Yep.
Huge.
My dad's retired from Ford.
Yeah.
Yep. And all of his brothers. Yeah. I know a ton of people that worked at GM too, from my generation also.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So you've got quite a gem there. I mean, so just with all that being said, it's a lot to manage. You do have a business partner,
mm-hmm.
and I know you have a wife. You guys don't have any kids yet, nope. Or intend to, whichever. That's two your
cats.
Decision.
Right,
two cats. I got
two cats.
I got my two dogs. And so that's a whole job in itself too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that's awesome. And what do you kind of do, you know, to keep things going, you know, keep yourself afloat? Like, I know you're a people person and you have a really positive attitude. Like, here's what I know about you and my interactions with you is that you're consistent. You know what I mean? You're a very consistent person. You got a great personality. You're welcome. What do you do when, you know, you're just kind of managing your day-to-day operations and, you know, things don't always run smooth, as we were talking off camera. Okay. It's like, it's always something. Something always comes up. What are some things you do to kind of mitigate your stress and kind of refocus, regroup, and, you know?
I don't know what it is about me, but I kind of love organized chaos.
I'm good with that too.
I don't know why, but it makes my day go by faster.
Yeah.
I love running around the shop like a chicken with my head cut off. I try not to move that onto my guys, because I like to create, you know, a happy work environment.
Yeah.
You know, hey, let's all just get in here. We accomplish the same things. We're here to get the customer back on the road as fast as possible. And we all love our customers. We really do.
Yeah.
I guess some things that I kind of do. I drink a lot of coffee.
So do I. Keeps you in a good mood, the coffee
it
does.
does.
Yeah. You just have a great mindset all the way around. That's why I'm always curious when I meet someone that has just a good attitude and also offers great customer service and keeps everything consistent. You're also a great communicator. Everything from your shop, all the communication from your shop was just 5 stars.
Yeah.
Which
Well, thank you.
I appreciate that. And you know, it's really hard to maintain that when you're running a business, and especially if it's successful and running with a good reputation, because there's always someone that wants to sidewind things, you know.
Yeah.
And that comes up and that plays into things, and that can, you know, take a toll on your mindset when you're trying to, especially if you're when you're just starting up and, you know, you're really trying to offer that 5-star customer service and someone feels like they haven't received it, you know, and it's just hard to keep the mindset going all the time in a positive
Well,
direction.
I was told by a good friend of mine, he goes, Carl, you could do everything right, but that first time you do something wrong, they're gonna remember it.
Yeah.
So I try and treat everybody with the utmost respect. I, you know, whether you know, like the price I give you or not, that doesn't matter to me. You know, I don't force numbers on people. I don't force them to do anything they don't want to do. I try
Yeah.
and break things down for people. I, you know, let's categorize this. Okay, what's our safety concerns? What's it going to take for me to get back on the road? What are some things that I need to look at in the future? And then, hey, well, you know, what are some upgrades that I might be able to do like later on down the road? And most places that do restorations don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And I run my business more like just a general repair shop. We are just here to repair cars and get them back on the road. And I found that's a big problem with a lot of other restoration shops is, oh, well, my car's been at the shop for 3 years now, 4 years now. The
Wow.
one restoration shop I worked at, they had a car there for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I couldn't even imagine. That wouldn't be me.
Well, and to be honest with you, in like the whole restoration thing, I kind of push my customers away from it.
Yeah.
It's a huge, huge undertaking.
Yeah.
It's essentially, imagine ripping your whole house apart and starting over fresh.
And I can't imagine that because I did that during
Yeah. Yeah. And you're
COVID.
like, oh, I have a number in mind. And then
Yeah,
you're like,
right.
yeah, that number just went out the window. Out the window.
Yes, because like you were telling me off camera too, when we had a chat going, you were saying it's just like remodeling a house, a bathroom, a kitchen and bathroom remod.
Oh,
Yes, yeah.
yeah. And then you're trying to like kind of balance with the customer. Hey, you know, here's the reason that the price went up. We
And you're
changed
not a
this.
breadcrumber. So, like, let's just get that straight for the audience. Like, you like to be honest up front
Yeah.
and you're good with the numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the better I am with the numbers
Yeah.
and the better that you understand exactly what you're getting and how much you're paying for it and that makes sense, the better decisions you can make.
Yeah. And I like what you said about your mentor early on that told you'll make more money being honest than you will ripping people off.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that that stayed with you. And
Yeah.
growing up as a kid, were you always into cars? Did you have, like, was your family into cars? And
So my dad's been a mechanic for as long as I can remember.
okay.
He started out as a painter and auto body and ended up getting some lung issues and stuff like that. So he moved over to being a mechanic. And when I was a kid, we lived in Waterford, and across from what is now the IHOP over there off of Dixie Highway
Yeah.
used to be a Kmart in a Caesarland.
Oh yeah, I know that Kmart. Yes.
Well, across from the Kmart, there was an A&W at one point in time, and they used to do car shows on Wednesday nights. So that's where it all kind of started, I think.
Cool.
And my dad, all my life, well, don't become a mechanic. It's hard on your body and da 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 this and that. And I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna do this. I actually want to be a paleontologist.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always been just good with working with my hands and stuff like that. And
Did he always have cars around when you were growing up and you were
yeah, for
able
the
to
most part,
kind
yeah.
of tinker around with
Yep,
stuff?
yep. And
Cool.
then it was the occasional, all right, Carl, well, you know, it's Saturday. You're not doing anything this morning. You're gonna get up and we're gonna go clean the shop and, you know, you're gonna do this and you're gonna do that. And it just never got an option. It was just like, hey, you're going to work. Come
Yeah, that's how
on.
my dad was.
Yeah.
We're going up to the 40 acres up north to cut wood today. Get in
Okay, sounds
the car. Yeah, right,
good.
exactly. That's awesome. So he had his own shop or he was part owner or
Nope, just a general mechanic at a couple different shops. He
cool.
worked
And he
at
would just go in and clean and you take you with him? And
he would work on Saturdays and then I'd just go in and clean.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But so he was a good role model then, kind of like planting the seeds were always there. That's awesome. So is he, was he pretty proud when you started up your business?
Yeah. He was cautionate, you know, hey, just let you know this may or may not work out and whatnot. You kind of should have stayed at Chrysler. It was a guaranteed thing, but it was,
That's very common of that generation. Cause my dad very much the same came from Ford and you know what? Those jobs aren't around anymore.
No, they're not. So
like you watch that. I think about that all the time because when I have various conversations with my father, I'm like, you know, just even me, like when I was talking about remodeling that house, just piecing friends together to help me with various things. Cause it was during COVID actually that was going on. And, it's not the same, you know. A lot of the people from my generation have, you know, died of a drug overdose or just down a rabbit hole and have taken to alcohol, just has consumed them, or, you know, they're battling depression and things like this. And my father, when he was coming up and working at Ford, he got a job at Ford when he was like 18. He got in very early and retired from Ford. So that was, you had like a built-in network there. Yeah. He had all of his buddies. I mean, he was friends with everybody, and then four brothers and things like this. And so when he would try to explain things to me from his perspective, I was like, I don't have that. You know, it's changed.
Yeah. So you talk about that. Working at Chrysler, I worked with a lot of guys that had, you know, 40 years in.
Yeah.
And some of the stories of like, we would go, you know, we'd have softball after work, or we'd go all together on a canoeing trip, or we'd do this or we'd do that. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
To this day, my dad still does those things. He still goes on a canoeing trip with all his Ford buddies. They're all still in touch.
Yeah.
And they're all still alive.
Yeah.
And I love that for him. But I just didn't have that. And so, And those jobs have all been eliminated now. I think they've all been replaced like with robotic engineers and things like this.
Oh, yeah.
But I envy that though. Like I reflect and I think, cause I was around it all growing up. Cause my dad and all the buddies had all the toys. So everyone had a cottage up north and like we had the 40 acres and like we grew up on the lake. So we had a boat and we had the four wheelers and all the things and they had all the things. And anytime one of those guys needed help with something, they were all there for free.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You weren't paying anybody.
You're getting a case of beer and a pizza and we're golden.
There it is. Yeah. So, or my mom would make dinner for everybody, you know, and like that was just the way it was, putting a new deck on the house, putting a new roof on the house. I mean, they're there.
Yeah.
And, you know, cause I kind of was I didn't want to buy a house because of just the upkeep and the maintenance that comes with it. And if you don't have, you know what I mean? You got to know the right people, and contractors can be crooked. And, you know, I faced all that and I kind of knew what I was getting into when I got a house. That's why I went very small. So I could see what I could manage on my own.
Yeah.
Just not having that network. And, I remember, a cousin of mine passed away and my dad had flew into town and we went to the funeral. And like I said, my dad's brothers all work for Ford too. So like they were all connected with my dad's brothers also. So all the Ford guys were at that funeral to support my uncle when his son passed away. And I got talking with the Ford buddies and he was like, you know, Dave told me you got a house and this, that, and the other. And I was like, yep. And he was like, yeah, I'm trying to get my son Scott to get one and he won't do it. He wants to rent or get a condo, like where they do all the stuff for you, the maintenance. And I was like, I get it. I was like, you guys don't understand that we don't have your network. Like you guys all came up. I was trying to like, cause he really wanted him to get a house. He was telling him, no, you gotta have a house. I'm like, that's a generational thing, man. I'm like, your group, that solid core group of friends, that's not really like a thing anymore. It's very rare if you can find that.
It is.
Yeah.
And that, to be honest, being a mechanic has kind of given me that, you know, you get together with a bunch of buddies or whatever that are all into the same thing. You know, they love cars or they love racing or they love just working on stuff.
And happy to help.
Yeah.
Like it's always, guys like that are always happy to lend a helping hand, which is great.
I had a buddy over one night and his wife was over with him and whatnot. And anytime we get together, it's always, well, let's work on this or let's do that. Or whether it be a house project or a car project or whatever. And she's like, well, can't we just like hang out and not work on something? And it's like, we don't know what else to do.
Right.
This is what we do.
That's awesome.
So.
Well, that's pretty cool. So now what does your wife do?
She is a hazmat technician. She deals with chemicals, and they do stickers and stuff for the big three.
Cool.
Like decals and so on and so forth.
So she's in networked in with the big three. Is that like contract or?
Yep, they're a secondary supplier. Yep.
Cool. How long has she been doing that for?
Oh, shoot. She's been there 10 years. Well, that's she worked at parts and service, and then a job opened in the hazmat technician department, and she took it. And that woman missed her calling doing this for a living because she loves it. Loves every minute of it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So you guys are pretty happy then. That sounds like a good deal. Not many people are happy with what they're doing right now. And I love that you took the leap there into CCR Automotive because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And I love that that your wife supports that. And you guys, you know, that makes a huge difference in a relationship when both people are happy at the same time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Rare.
Yeah.
And you guys have been married for how long?
Going on 2 years in September.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
How long have you guys, did you guys know each other for a long period of time prior?
Yes, we did. We actually, we went on a date one time, and then if she tells this story versus if I tell it, it's totally different. things just didn't work out, and we didn't talk for about a year, and then she posted something on Facebook, and we got together, and we, I tell you what, me and that woman have been through a lot. We started dating in December. Well, we started seeing each other in like October, November. It was November, actually. Started dating in December. And then I bought a house, had all kinds of issues. And I had, so I had a pre-purchase inspection done. But it was done by somebody that just didn't care.
Oh, damn.
So spent really good money on that. And then found out I had all these different kinds of issues and whatnot with the house. Floors falling in, four different kinds of mold. You know, I end up losing the house. So that happens. Like, I go to move in, can't even move in. We've got to do all this work. We're doing it with it, you know, her dad at the time was a huge help. And then we were walking upstairs and he had a massive heart attack, come to find out, and died a couple days later.
Oh my God.
That happened. And she was just dealing with the passing of her grandparents and a bunch of other stuff. And then, you know, the thing with the house happened, went through a long legal battle that went nowhere.
Did you have to litigate with the inspector?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a huge ordeal. And when it finally came down to brass tacks, the judge overseeing the whole thing was like, I don't even know why this is in court. You guys are just wasting my time. I'm like, you don't understand, dude. I just bought my first house. I sunk everything I had into this thing and just to get kind of screwed over by somebody else. So I think that's kind of where I feel for these people that do buy these cars and whatnot and, you know, kind of get put through the ringer.
Yeah.
Because don't do that to somebody.
You're operating your business from experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not only just the automotive experience, but life experience.
Oh, yeah.
Because we talked about a lot of this off camera, too, where I've been in those shoes also, you know, with various situations. And even the people in power, like you're sitting there going through the process with the judge after you feel like you've been wronged, and you had been.
Yeah.
And even the powers that be aren't doing their job.
No, they're
That's
not.
The worst.
Yeah. And it's just to kind of get shot down like that.
Yeah, it's
like,
demoralizing.
Come on, you know? So then I end up having to file for bankruptcy. And, you know, luckily, that's all taken care of and everything. But it set us back. So we end up moving in with my parents for a short period of time. And then her mom was going through some stuff and whatnot and dealing with the passing of her dad. And she's like, come move in with me. You know, you guys can just pay me rent as you go and, you know, we can figure something out. So we did. And God bless her soul. She has been a saving grace for us.
Yeah.
Always been there for us. Everything. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better mother-in-law, to be honest. So that happens. We move in with her. COVID happens. And we were kind of looking for a house, kind of not, you know, hoping something was going to pop up. And I finally told my wife, I'm like, that's it. I'm not doing this anymore. Let's just look for land. We're going to build a house.
Yeah.
So we ended up finding land. She was still not working. I went back to work at Chrysler and She found some land. We went and finalized on it. We actually were looking at the wrong piece of land. It was the one next to it, which worked out even better.
Awesome.
We're like, we really like that piece over there.
Finally, the stars are aligning.
Yeah, we like this one, but this one would be better. And they're like, no, that's the one for sale, actually. And I'm like, oh, okay, good. She ended up finding a company, and we went and built a modular home. And everything's kind of worked out since then as far as the house goes.
That's awesome. And it sounds like it was like meant to be, you guys kind of moving in with your wife's mother and
yeah
kind of helping her get through the transition of losing her husband and your wife losing her father.
Yeah
That's a lot. Yeah, dude, I gotta commend you, because there's even more behind that positive attitude. Yeah. It's like, I mean, and that probably just brought you guys closer together.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of those situations can either rip people apart or bring them together.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That really showed, you know, you guys to each other what you were made of.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, no. Me and my wife have a huge communication thing. That's one thing we do well together.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is so good, because that's like the number one killer in a relationship is poor communication. Oh, yeah. So you guys have that cooking. Oh, yeah. My God, that's gold. Yes. Man, I can relate too, because, you know, when I started my business a couple of years prior, like I was splitting from my ex, I had, you know, walking out of that cost me a bankruptcy. So, you know what's not fun? Starting a business out of a bankruptcy. Because it follows you for like the 7 years.
Yep.
Some I had thought that like that went away, or like when you started up a business, things were separate.
Oh, no. Because
I had never started a business before, right?
Yeah.
So like I had my own ideas in my head.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, I'm just going to, you know, start this business and it's going to be separate from that. But no. So like when you start a business in any capacity, that is all on your shoulders. It's on your social security number, your name number and address.
Yep.
I mean, all of it. So, yeah, no, it doesn't separate. It follows. And so can relate, man.
I was applying for an SBA loan and whatnot, and I'm going through all these steps and processes and everything else like that. And I probably got 10, 12 hours wrapped up into this thing. And I asked the guy, I said, you know, I've got a bankruptcy on my record. Is that going to affect this? Oh, yeah, you might as well just stop now.
I'm like, well, I can relate to that too, because I couldn't get nothing. That's why I was like, that's why, you know, I ended up having to sell my car for payroll, you know, but I was willing to do anything because I, like I said, my startup was not, you know, not cushy. It was sleeping on that air mattress, but like, I don't regret or look back and wish that none of that was the way it was, because I love it.
Yeah.
I loved it. And I was actually I thrived. Like you said, you like that chaos, like you're good in, I'm good in crisis.
Yeah.
And so I've for years worked in the mental health field, and I always worked with, you know, men and also women too, but like men with schizophrenia and intermittent explosive disorder. And though I was always able to build trusting relationships with those guys, but they were very unpredictable. And so I never knew what the day was going to look like, but I was always very good under pressure and in crisis.
Yeah.
And so like that, I mean, for 20 years prior to me starting my business, you know, I did all of those things on a daily basis, and I worked like a machine. Like I would work like 80 hours a week. So, you know, that was great. Like I call it just warrior training to be a business owner, because like you have got to be a warrior when you start up.
Oh yeah.
Because the adversity, it stops for nobody.
No, oh no, it doesn't.
Like you just said, I mean, just all those things snowballing. Like, I mean, my God, the house, the bankruptcy, it's like, similar paths. That's why we connect. I'm like, okay, because I'm watching you interact with the customers. I'm like, he's real good with those customers. I was like, I felt like I was watching myself a little bit while I was watching you interact with the customers, because of what my background is in. And I was like, he's so good. He's so patient with these customers. I could see you even being, you know, very calm with an irrational customer.
Yeah,
you don't seem like people would break you.
Yeah. No. And I we've had that before, you know, but you have to think back, like, if I explode or whatever else, it's not going to change how they act.
Right.
So Paul, my business partner, told me one time, we were working on a car, and I was getting upset about it, and he goes, it's an inanimate object. It doesn't care. You can get upset with it. You can yell at it, scream at it, cuss at it. It's an inanimate object. It does not care. And you kind of have to apply that to, like, general life, you know?
Yeah. I had a moment today. Yes.
People have moments and whatnot, and it is what it is, but it's how you react to that. You know, hey, you know what? I'm going to walk away for 5-10 minutes. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to come back to it.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have, every day isn't like that for me. I need to regroup sometimes. Once you go through so many things, it's like sometimes when it rains, it pours. I'm not a perfect person and I am human and I have those days. And so, but for the most part, you know, it took a lot of regrouping for me to get back there because I had, you know, just, you have a business and you have employees and various situations come up and you're faced with a lot of curveballs at times. And you just, every reaction can't be the right one all the time, 100%. Yeah. And so I've been guilty of that. And so all I can do is try to fix that moving forward and recenter. Like just today, I told you, I had about 13 things that could have just, that were ready to blow my top. That were blowing my top. And for some odd reason, I don't know, I just kept it cool today.
I find myself often saying in my own head, they don't know what I'm thinking.
Yes.
You have to explain yourself better. They don't know what you're thinking.
Yes. Yep. I have a lot of different things that I'll do where I'll just like write things down on paper, write some thoughts down on paper, or like if you got to jump on a call or someone's calling and it's like one of those situations that need to be dealt with right away, but you're not in the right mindset, I don't take the call. I'll send a text. I'll call you back in 5 minutes. I'm on another call, whatever. Because oftentimes I am on another call or in a meeting. So I just regroup, reframe, and kind of go from there. Those are my like wellness practices for myself that I've gifted to myself. Yeah. You know, because oftentimes as a business owner, you don't stop. You take the call, you keep going, you keep taking the hits, and it's like you don't have time to reframe or regroup, and then you're depleted.
Yeah.
And you know, and like you have your wife, and you go home, and like, how unfair would it be for her to be on the receiving end of your bad day? You know what I mean? Yeah. So you get that.
Yeah.
And so.
So one thing me and my wife have done, and we've done this forever. I don't know why, but it's just something we do. I call her or she calls me on my way home, whether it was when I was working at Chrysler, when I was working at the other restoration company, or where I'm working now. And it gives us time for like a decompression before we get home and just kind of like blah, everything. So
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that seems to work really, really well for us. And I don't know, we have a very interesting communication way, but it works great for the two of us.
Yeah. You know, I'm into customization. Yeah. Whatever works for you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Exactly. Everybody's different and everyone has different needs and different forms of communication.
But
I love that for
you. I completely agree with you on the whole, like, hey, if I'm not in the right mindset, this isn't the right time. And especially when you're calling somebody up and saying, hey, here's what's wrong with your car. It's going to be okay. Everything can be fixed. But if they hear that uncertainty in your voice and, you know, that like, well, you know, I don't know. It immediately starts sending like red flags like, oh, does this person know what they're talking about? Oh, hey, am I at the right place? Oh, are they going to overcharge me? Are they going to break something? You can't have that. That's why I love bringing customers in and showing them what we found.
Yeah.
Because to actually see something and for me to point it out and explain why it's broken or explain why it needs to be fixed and showing you is huge. Plus, seeing a car in front of you versus seeing it up in the air, two completely different things.
Oh, yeah. Well, I loved it because you brought me in. And I know when I think I brought it in a couple times, but when I brought it in the one time, I was off to California shortly after, so I had to leave. But you gave me a call. I remember being in California and I was like, oh. Because like, I thought it was going to be like, you're not going to like this. I thought it was going to be one of those calls, and it wasn't. Yeah. So I was like, but no, like if I was, but I was in a good mood, I think, because I was in California, so I would have been able to take that news. But if I wasn't in the right headspace, I probably wouldn't have taken the call just because I wouldn't have been able to, you know, take that for the day.
Oh, no, and I've had to call plenty of people and give them bad news.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you. I'd rather me tell you bad news and you know up front.
You have a great delivery. So like when it comes from you, it's like you're very, you know, compassionate when you're going over even just the smallest fee. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like your delivery for it is smooth and soft, and I'm sure your customer base really appreciates that, because I know I did. And it's like, and you're thorough. So like for everything that we went over, I mean, you really do take the time, and I watched you do it. So I know it wasn't just a with me thing. It was, that's how you are consistently. And I definitely appreciate that about you. That's a great skill set to have, to be able to walk people through with patience. Yeah.
Well, like I said, the more that the customer knows, the better decision-making skills they can have.
Yeah.
Because like a lot of these cars, you know, oh, it's been sitting 10, 12 years. Oh, this, oh, that. And that's the worst thing for them, is sitting. I want you to understand that this is the best course of action that we can take. And until we do this, we shouldn't even think about all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Let's make sure that the heart is good, you know, and it still pumps blood before we worry about the toe that's broken.
Yeah. I love that one. That's a great one. Now, I have to ask, what is your favorite classic car?
My favorite classic car has to be the GTO from Dazed and Confused.
Beautiful. Oh my God, Carl, that's my favorite movie. Really? That's one of my favorite movies. So, oh my goodness, back in the day, that movie ran for 3 days straight at my parents' house when my parents were out of town and I threw a 3-day party.
Really?
Yes, it just ran on a loop. I love that movie.
That's awesome.
That soundtrack is great. That soundtrack is fantastic.
Yes.
That's awesome.
That's a beautiful car. That's my favorite car.
I love that. No wonder why we're connected. I'm like, all right. That's hilarious. Now, where can the audience find you?
Facebook. We're on Facebook and just the website. Yep.
Facebook and website. So yep. CCRAutomotive.com.
CCR-automotive.com.
And we're going to film some content at your shop with some cars. And that's going to be a good time. We had some weather glitches this week here.
Yeah, hopefully we're getting over them.
Yes, I know. We're moving forward.
Yep.
But we'll get that footage out at the shop. When weather permits.
Yep. I think that's everybody's favorite part, is when they come see me, I'm like, all right, well, talking to you is the boring part. Let's go out in the shop and see what we got. And everybody's like, this is so cool.
Yeah, it is cool out there. And so for anybody looking for a pre-purchase inspection, Carl is your man.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even if you, to be honest, don't have me do it, and you're looking at a car in a different state, call around, ask somebody.
Yeah.
You know, because we're car people too.
Right.
We want you to get something that you're going to trust, you're going to enjoy, you're going to have fun doing and driving around and enjoying, just basically.
Yeah.
We want you to have a good time in your car. We don't want you to have to worry about, is it going to break down? Am I trusting it to drive here? So on and so forth. So if you're looking at something in a different state, call around, you know?
Yeah.
And try it a couple different places or whatever.
Well, I love that that exists, because I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so I bet a lot of folks don't know that.
A lot of folks do not.
And they can, you know, like you said, if not you, if they're in another state and they have someone local that they've already, you know, that's, you know, not
or
far.
To be honest, before I even started doing the restoration stuff, I did it for a guy out just off a Facebook group.
There are those groups too. I forgot. You mentioned the Facebook group earlier, and it was funny because when I drive that Mustang, people follow me to places. And so when I pulled into the gas station over by the studio, a guy followed me. He wasn't even getting gas, and he just wanted to talk about the car.
Oh yeah.
And he was like, you got to get in this Facebook group. He's like, I have a Mustang. And he was like, and I'm part of this group. And he told me about all these Mustang groups. And I was like, because I'm not on Facebook. So I was like, shoot, I would if I were on. But that's got to be great for you too, a great resource for to reach out and like let people know.
Oh, it's not just that. It's a lot of times it's, you know, especially with the 30s and 40s cars, sometimes just people on there have knowledge that I don't know everything. I'm a human too.
Yeah.
You know,
but I love that about you too, is that, cause I always tell my team, like, I've got a ton of experience, but if I don't have the answer, I have the resources to get it. Like I network with everybody and I'm open to feedback from anybody. It's like same as you, like you can get the answer or the resource.
Well, that's what I tell my team all the time. You guys here are the greatest resource that you could ever imagine. Between all you guys, there's like 120 years worth of experience.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can't figure it out, we'll find a way.
I love that you just said that, because I just said that the other day, combining the team, my admin team's experience. I was like, we have 100 years of experience on this team. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
And it's like, you know, the other thing is, you know, you may look at something one way and I may look at it another way. But let's just figure out a way to get it done.
Yeah.
You know, whether we do it your way or my way, it doesn't matter.
Because
my way might be, oh, I'm going to take this, this, and this. And your way may be like, well, you can just take that and you'll be there. I'm like, shit, all right, let's do that.
Right. It's all about being solution based.
Yeah.
That's what I am too. Like, yeah. I don't care who has the solution. Just let's bring it to the table.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. That's awesome. So, all right. Yeah. Well, we got all your links up and I can't wait to get out to the shop and film. That's going to be a great day. We'll have the cars out there. I'll bring the Mustang.
Yep.
Great. Yes.
Awesome.
Carl, thank you so much for taking the time to come into the studio.
Yeah, of course. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. I can't wait to have you back and we'll be out at the shop.
All right. Sounds great.
All right. All right, guys. That's a wrap.